Good morning. Got to remember how this thing works. Well, this is the time of year set aside to celebrate the miraculous birth of our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior, our Christ. The commerce world would have you believe that buying the latest trendy gadget or gift is what love is all about. But love is Father God, not Father Christmas, given to the world the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Wrong button. So today, we're going to look at Old Testament prophecy of the coming Messiah. We are fortunate enough to be able to clearly see, because it is, a lot of it is history to us, his story for us. And then hopefully we'll look at what kind of lessons we can take away from this for us. So how much time do I have? Okay, good. They say there are over 400 prophecies. Carol service is at 3. I guess we need to get started. History, when I was growing up, was, you know, a good place to catch a few winks. But then when I grew up and got, you know, the Lord got a hold of me, history has a complete new meaning. So I know this chart might be a little hard to read from where you're sitting, especially in the back. If you'd like a copy, just drop me an email and I'll send it to you. But basically, it is what the Old Testament prophets saw. We see clearly looking back, but they didn't see so clearly from their end. So there are many promises, prophecies, but as we'll see, they were progressively revealed. It was not so clear for any of our forefathers, but thanks to times past, the New Testament and the Holy Spirit, we do see clearly now. I won't go through all the 400, so I've just taken a good selection to bring us to where the babe is born in Bethlehem. First we see the first promise would be that our Savior would be born. It would be a person. So Adam and Eve were looking for a person to deliver them. They had just been expulsed from the garden because of the intervention of Lucifer, Satan, that serpent. But before so, Lucifer was cast into the dust, and this was the first promise or prophecy of our deliverer. A person would be born to right the wrong, so access to the intimate relationship with God be restored. And that serpent would receive his head wound. Adam and Eve expected through Cain or Abel, but it was not so. Then came Enoch, who after the birth of his son started to walk with God. He was the first prophet in Jude 14, we read. But he prophesied of the last judgment, the second advent. He was not the Christ. He had a son, had a very, very special name, Methuselah. And some say his name meant, his death shall bring. So he must be the Christ. Unfortunately, his death brought the end of that current known world. Noah and his family, though, went through it. So was it Noah? No, it wasn't Noah. Time starts again. And tradition has it that Shem, Noah's son, was in fact the high priest of Melchizedek. would it be him? Well, unfortunately, another promise was given. And that promise was given to the nation, well, to Abraham, that he would be a blessing, or through him, he would be a blessing to all nations. All peoples on earth would be blessed through you. You will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. The scepter will not depart from Judah. So Abraham was given a great promise. Here he was. He was childless. He's obedient. But he asked God, well, how will this happen if I'm childless? So he receives the promise. He meets Melchizedek. Still childless, he's told that his children would be enslaved 400 years and would return back to this place after the fourth generation. So it wasn't to be Isaac, but Isaac would be a father too. It was Jacob. Was it Jacob? It wasn't Esau. But we find on Jacob's deathbed, he reveals to Judah the promised king would be through him. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of the sons of Seth. 400 years. We know the story of Joseph. 400 years they are enslaved. 400 dark years. Where is this Savior? They've probably forgotten that they'd be there for 400 years, four generations. Then Moses came along. This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be the ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bushes. Moses, a rejected deliverer, brings them out after 400 years of slavery, brings them to the brink of the promised land. Was he the Christ? Unfortunately, no. He doesn't go into the promised land. Time continues to go on. And we have in Hannah's prayer the next revelation. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. He will be a king. And from that point, Israel was looking for a king. At that point, they had judges. Now they wanted a king, and they asked for a king. They cried out for a king. And a king they were given. So the Messiah was to be a king. And so, who shall it be? Where is this king? Saul was given. It wasn't Saul. He turned his back on God. David, surely. Here was a king hand-selected by God himself, a young shepherd boy. Not usually the trappings of a king, but anyways, God uses the meek and the mild. David, surely, and he gave David the entire land that had been promised to that nation. They had 40 years of peace in that established kingdom. But it wasn't David. And so they kept watching and looking. Well, maybe it's Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. He was king. He built the temple. God's glory shone forth from the Holy of Holies. He must be the one they were speaking of in the past. He must be the one that's going to be the deliverer. It wasn't to be. Each king came and went. Some good, a lot bad. Josiah was probably one of the better of that long list of kings. But it wasn't to be. Maybe they'd given up. Revealed, renewed hope was given to Isaiah in around 760 BC. God's anointed one will reign on David's throne forever. We see. So, it's going to be a king. David's throne. But where is he? Also, he'd be a suffering king, a suffering Messiah. We see clearly now how that fits in. But back then, they probably couldn't see. Dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men have encircled me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Zechariah. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. A future prophet. But they'll pierce him. God's anointed would be crushed for our sins. They couldn't see what we can see. A king wounded in battle, perhaps, for his people, returning to them the peace they had with David, maybe. That's probably what they were thinking. We see clearly how this all came about. And remember weekly how Jesus was pierced for our sins and how we are healed when we meet for the communion service. We can see clearly now. We have been given the New Testament. Christ has come. We sing about him this time of year, especially about his birth. They didn't see so clearly. They kept watching and watching. But we can see. Do you believe? We sing the carols at Christmas of a babe born of God incarnate. We know how the story continues, almost at end, how it continues. And at Easter, we will celebrate his death and his resurrection. If there's anybody here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this could be your last chance to accept him in your heart, because he is coming back. We'll get to that further. Today is the day the Lord has made for you to get right with God. Accept the eternal gift of life, this free gift that he gives us. The suffering Messiah would come, and he did. So they kept watching and watching and looking for this, but they still didn't have the full picture. Isaiah again, chapter 7:14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." We've been singing a lot about Emmanuel lately. Emmanuel means Jesus with us, or God with us. But it's a sign. So a lot of people are scratching their head, but, of course. All these young ladies are virgins. Of course they're virgins. So I'll be young, but there's young ladies, there's people being born every day. But it's a sign. It's a special sign. That's what they have to get in their mind. How will they know who is the anointed one? Again to Isaiah, it was revealed. It's a virgin. Not a young girl that has never known a man. No, this would not be a sign. It had to be a literal virgin. God said it would be a virgin, then a virgin it must be. And a virgin, as we know now today, it was. It was miraculous. Not for God. God created us. He created the universe. He created it all so that we would have a relationship with Him, so that we could walk day in, day out, and rely upon Him. So it wasn't a miraculous thing for Him, the great Creator, but for us, it was completely new. It was never done before. Imagine the wonderment of those who read that. What were they imagining? It's also a warning to us, because quite often when we don't understand something in Scripture, we try and rationalize it instead of taking it at the Word. It was a virgin. A very, very special event. Okay, so when will this happen? Well, in 607 BC, we have Daniel give us another piece of the pie, per se. And a lot of you know that Daniel prophesied about the 70 weeks. No one understands from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. There will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. When will this be? They are captive again. 69 weeks. Was it 69 weeks? 69 years, 69 weeks of years. 483 until he'd be cut off. Today we see clearly those 483 years bring us completely on the mark to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, his death. God's Word is always right. We just have to believe it. Where would he be born? We are told he'd be born in Bethlehem, 750 years before it happened. Micah was told to tell us, to write it down. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Where will he be born? A virgin? From a virgin? It would be in Bethlehem, outside the city of Jerusalem. So another piece of the puzzle. So they're sitting wondering, looking, waiting, anticipating things that take a long time, usually start to go back on our back burner of thought process. Our daily lives get in the way and keep kind of forgetting about a lot of things. But people were watching, and there were a lot of false messiahs. Who is the Messiah the Jews are expecting to come? Why did the Jews reject Jesus as their Messiah? These two questions have often been a mystery to many Christians as they read the Bible and study the prophets. Before Yeshua, Jesus, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. But when Jesus came and died, he did not fill their expectation. Their king should live forever. Today, the Jews still reject Jesus as Messiah because he failed to fulfill the role Messiah was to play according to the tradition of the scribes, Pharisees, Sanhedrin, and the priesthood. According to Maimonides, who was one of the great rabbis, Messiah should not die. As is the case of Bar Konopa, who claimed title of the role of Messiah and was proclaimed such by another rabbi, Akiba, but he died in battle. Some of the signs, they have 13 that they watch, some of the signs as taught by the rabbis are that the Messiah would restore the throne of David. He would rebuild the temple. He would gather the exiles, be a descendant of David. But he doesn't have to perform signs or wonders. Some of those ring true in our ear because we do clearly see, and we see what has happened, and we see in Scripture, even in the New Testament, some of the prophecies yet to come for the nation of Israel, rebuilding the temple, gathering the exiles. We see some of that today. But there were a lot of false messiahs. In fact, 130 years before, 1524, 1700s, 1800s, a lot of people proclaiming to be the Messiah. In the 90s. Rebbe Schneerson. You've seen all his signs. He died in 94. He was supposed to be the Messiah. I have friends that believe he's the Messiah. But he died. They're waiting for him to rise again. But he died. He's not coming back. We know the truth. Unfortunately, they're still disillusioned. We need to be praying for our Jewish brothers and sisters so that they will recognize the true Messiah. So, narrowing it down, we know his sex, the Son of Man. So, about 50% of the population it could be. We know where he'd be born. That really starts to narrow it down. Of all the humans, we're what, 8 billion now? Or 7 billion. We just turned 7 billion. Born in Bethlehem. There's not so many. We know the lineage. He'd be coming from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, David. His time of death has been forecast, has been prophesied. 483 years from the command to rebuild Jerusalem after the captivity. We have a description of his death, pierced, whipped, innocent of crime. But we have one very specific event. He'd be born of a virgin. None of the messiahs met those criteria, but our Messiah meets them all. We see clearly now, God's own Son came to die that we might live. Through the New Testament, we see clearly. We have four of the disciples who left the testimony as guided by the Holy Spirit. because we weren't there 2,000 years ago. For us, it's still history too. But he chose four to tell the story. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach it to us day by day. He gives us the faith to believe. And we can see clearly now. Those 2,000 years witnessed the arrival of the life and the death of our Savior. So let's look quickly at some of the scriptures that were fulfilled. The seed woman, Galatians 4:4. But when the time had come fully, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, and spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are son, God has made you also heir. So we see scripture fulfilled. If we look at this chart here and we read the book of Matthew and we read the book of Luke, what we see here is Mary and Jesus. And Mary's line, the legal line, through Nathan, through Bathsheba, to David. Prophecy. It's supposed to be from the line of David. And David to Abraham and to Adam. If you look at Joseph, the husband, the royal line, the name comes from the father. Again, through Solomon, Bathsheba, to David, Abraham, and Adam. So he was born in Bethlehem as prophesied. Mary and Luke is traced back to David, Abraham, and Adam. Joseph, all the way back to Abraham. The prophecies, again, fulfilled as they always will be. The virgin birth. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. His word is always fulfilled. Even though we can't understand it, his word will be fulfilled. Another warning not to spiritualize the scripture. His word will be fulfilled. If you spiritualize that, you miss who the Savior would be. Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, well, I read this morning, so I won't go through it now. Time is getting on. But how will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Imagine how hard that was to receive. But looking back, we see God kept his word. So if God kept his word down to the birth of our Savior, who we celebrate this time of the year, each and every year, until he returns again, we will continue that, just as we do the memorial feast every week. Then he'll keep it about his return, because he has said he will return. And it was so. Jesus, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, God's own son, came 2,000 years ago, lived to die at the appointed time as prophesied by Daniel. The prophets of old could see the mountaintops of prophecy. They didn't see, they didn't see the valley of the church that we are fortunate to be in. He wasn't coming just for the nation of Israel. Scripture is still open. There are some tests, there are some prophecies of coming here. The Antichrist, when he returns on Olivet, the kingdom being set up. Those are prophecies that the ancients saw also. Today, we hear about Doomsday 2012. History Channel is full of it. They just started afresh last week or the week before. I guess they have nothing else to broadcast about Doomsday coming December next year. We who have the word know it's untrue. We know there is a lot to come. We know doomsday isn't till far off, the way they are trying to prophesy. 1 year left, nothing supported by Scripture. Daniel had 70 weeks. We've talked about 69. There is a week to come. There is a week to come. We are in the church age. This is the 69 weeks. Brings us up to the cross. We're in the church age. There is a week left. Daniel told 69 weeks to cut off the anointed Savior, and it was so. But he said there would be 70 weeks in Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. And in the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. Today there's no sacrifice and offering in Jerusalem. Today there is no temple. There are prophecies that a temple will be rebuilt. And the nation of Israel will be gathered in. And the nation of Israel will again begin sacrifice and offerings. After restoration of the temple and the temple service reinstituted, which is still future, and all Israel is looking forward to that temple. The rabbis preaching for that temple. And we have prophecies that fulfill that week. And there's a very special event that happens in the middle of that week that the world will see. Before this time in technology, the world could not see a single event. The world will see the slaughter of God's two witnesses. That's a study for another time. What are we, his church, waiting for? Well, before that week will start, there will be a rapture. For us who call Jesus our Lord, there is no unfulfilled prophecy yet. But it was given to Paul to write, "But brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we are who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." That's the event that we're waiting for, that has been promised, that was spoken of last week, when the bride and the bridegroom would be gathered, the bride would be gathered unto the bridegroom, the great marriage feast in preparation for his return to this earth. So I guess the question of the hour shall be is, are we ready? If we knew we had a year left, as they're trying to tell us, actually, we may have seconds left, because it's the imminent return that we wait. We don't know if we'll leave this place today or be caught up to heaven today. It might be tomorrow. It might be a month from now. It might be a year from now. It may be after we've all passed away and our children's children. We don't know. That was prophesied 2,000 years ago as an imminent return. It could happen at any time. And the reason God gave us that is so that it would be our daily focus. It's easy to get caught up in all the things we do day in, day out, and lose sight that at any moment that trumpet could sound. There are no unfulfilled prophecies for the church. Matthew 26:25-26, though, does remind us. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Imagine that tonight. Then all the virgins woke and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. So as I close, do you have the oil? Do you have the Holy Spirit testifying to you you have been born again? If not, if you wait, it could be too late. Are you ready? If we had an hour to live, what would we do? If we had a year left to live, what would we do different? Would your thoughts be on your family? How about your friends? How about your neighbor, the one you're thinking about right now? The longer we tarry, the closer we get. But also, others may be shut out.